We want to see every one of God's people activated, all right? God wants us alive, activated, moving, all right, in the gifts that he's given to us. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you today, Holy Father, for the body of Christ and for this opportunity to be here today. Holy Spirit, we know that you are the teacher. And Lord, we ask you to teach us, to instruct us in the way we should go. Lord, we know that your word is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, your word will accomplish what you set it forth to do. So Lord, today I ask you to use me as a vessel, that you'll speak through me, that you'll reach through me, Lord, today. And I thank you for that. Bless each one of us, Lord. Strengthen and nourish and build up, Lord. Yes, activate us, that we may run with perseverance this race set before us, that we may endure and overcome and have joy at the end of our journey. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of today's message is Overcoming the Enemy's Power. And if you and I want to live an effective and powerful life, then you must get into God's presence. You must get into God's presence. The power of the Holy Spirit is essential to our victory in overcoming evil. The power of God transforms an intellectual concept into a true living faith. What we need is a true living faith. We don't need to just gather and gain more information, but we want that word to translate into a life. Amen. Live for God. Hallelujah. Good fruit, bearing fruit unto eternal life. So we believe, as we ask the Lord to impart to us his truth, then he will do so, because he said, if you asked, you would what? Okay, but having received the word is just not enough. Having received God's grace is not enough. We don't receive the grace of God in vain. Amen. So we're not just asking God to give us things so we can feel good, but we ask God to give us what we need so that we can be an effective witness for him in this world. So we can be salt, we can be light, we can make a difference. Amen. And as you go about and doing his business, he's going to take care of your business. As you live for him, as you water others, you yourself will also be watered. That's how it works. Isn't it true? As we give out, amen, we receive in. Hallelujah. God knows what we have need of. Hallelujah. So the first thing we need to remember is faith is the door to fellowship with God. How many are familiar with Hebrews 11:6? You could probably quote it. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe he is, and that what? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's impossible to be in faith and not be actively engaged in serving the Lord. It's impossible to be in faith and not be actively engaged in serving the Lord. True faith in Christ will motivate one to action. Can you say amen? Oh, Lord, that was a good word. I believe the word. Amen. But the Bible says to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, because then you're just deceiving yourself. Amen. And what we're called to do is impossible apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be people who abide in his presence in order to be an expression of his heart in the earth. What we're called to do requires more than just our intellectual ability to repeat or parrot something we've heard. We need to be hearing God's voice. We need to be speaking what he's speaking and doing what he's doing. And you cannot know what he's doing except by the Spirit of the Lord, who will reveal the will of God to you. God will open your understanding and allow you to see what's going on in the Spirit so that you can appropriately minister to others. God will open your understanding and allow you to know what he's saying so that you can appropriately speak what he's saying. Amen. Because what he is speaking is life-giving. I can say all kinds of things and I can quote scripture, but when the Holy Spirit is speaking through me, amen, and maybe he gives me a word or a scripture to quote, if I quote the scripture that he gives me to quote, it will be full of life because it's in agreement with the Lord's will. And a word that is spoken in due season, how good it is, right? So if we're speaking in the moment with God, what he's speaking, there is life in that. And every one of us here has the potential to be a vessel for God if we're willing to be a vessel for God. How many here are willing to be a vessel for God? All right. And I know those of you who didn't raise your hand also meant yes, right? That meant yes too, right? I saw a few half flags and half staff, right? How many are willing to be a vessel for God? So you know the Apostle Paul, he was obviously a man of the Spirit. He could not do what he did except that God had enabled him to do it. And the reason he could accomplish great things is because of his faith and his he really treasured the presence of the Lord. He treasured intimacy with God. It was his prayer life that enabled him to do what he did. And guys, you cannot have the ability to do God's will if you're not in communion with him, communication with him. If you don't have a prayer life, you're not going to be effective. Amen for him. Hallelujah. Because we need to commune with the Lord and we need to be listening to what he wants to say so that we can be in agreement with what he wants to accomplish. Because if we do what he's doing, it will produce good fruit. And so we can have good ideas of how I will serve God and things I will do for God. But the thing that produces life is that which God is doing. And you and I partnering with him in that mission, in that work. That's the difference. See, we can do a lot of good things. And you can be, you know, actually doing good things for God, but not actually be walking with God. But we need to walk with the Lord, and that's where life is, and that's where there's going to be effectiveness. And so without prayer, everything you do, every effort, every work will be hindered because the devil is not threatened by a powerless church. And a powerless church is a prayerless church. We are powerless if we're prayerless. We need to have that intimacy with the Lord. Amen. We need to have that relationship with Jesus. Amen. So that we are so acquainted with his voice that we know his voice, that we can speak what he's speaking and do what he's doing because we are in fellowship. We are in relationship. You get to know somebody because you spend time with that person. Sometimes we introduce others, you know, people to somebody else and say, oh, do you know brother or sister so-and-so? And you might have just met them last week and you say, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so. Well, no, you actually don't know them. You know about them. So God wants us to go beyond just knowing about him to actually knowing him. That's where life is. That we may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. This is eternal life. So, unfortunately, many Christians have been hardened through the teachings that justify their powerlessness. I'm only human. I can't do anything. How about this one? Oh, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today. That went away with the writing of the New Testament canon. And so we can justify not ever having a miracle, never having anything of any substance take place, any experience in God because, well, nothing is happening. God's not doing anything today. All we're doing is repeating something that happened in the past. Are you hearing me? We're talking about a God who was. What about the God who is right now, the same yesterday, today, and forever? What is he doing right now? Am I with him? Am I partnering with him? Am I praying? Am I seeking his face? Am I calling on him that he may empower my life and give me his supernatural boldness and ability to be an effective witness for him? Apart from him, I can do nothing. And there are a lot of people trying to do something for God without God. They come and they practice religion. They go to a church, they listen to a message, and they go home, and that's about the end of it. Because many churches have been told the lie, and they believe the lie that there's no power available to the believer today, that that's no longer here. Then what do you have left? Stories. Story time. Well, that was an interesting story. How many know the power of God is available today and effective to work in your life amen, and bring transformation to our nation, to our communities, to people that we encounter, if we're willing to be a vessel for Him. So don't use the excuse, I'm only human. God chooses to use human beings, right? Hallelujah. So the excellency of the power is of Him and not of us. People need to know who it comes from. Amen. So if we're looking for an excuse to justify our powerlessness or even our sin, we'll find it. Oh, it's easy to come up with an excuse. I've made excuses before, have you? I've tried to justify things that deep down inside I knew were not right. Somehow to appease my conscience, maybe I'll feel better if I can just kind of justify, well, it's not that bad. And other people do it too, and it's politically correct. We're not going there, right? Please. But, you know, remember Jesus said this about the people that came and they seemed eager to hear what He had to say. In Luke 16:15, He said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men. But God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Now, we ought to take and camp out on that for a while and really think about what He's talking about here. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. What does the world esteem? Fame? Self? So obviously, we are engaged in a battle that we never chose for ourselves. We were born in a broken world, a sin-sick world. But God has not left us as orphans. He has given us the power of His Spirit so that we can accomplish His will in the midst of it all, so we can shine as lights in the midst of the darkness. He said, "You are to be that light, that city on a hill that cannot be hidden." In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." In other words, this battle we're engaged in is supernatural in nature. But against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places, in heavenly places. So this warfare is not a matter of contending against the people or the philosophers of our day, or politicians, or cultists, or even dysfunctional rulers. It's not really where the battle is. The battle is in the invisible spiritual world around us. It's against demonic forces, against fallen angels, evil spirits, and they wield tremendous power, by the way. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. The devil does have power, but the issue here is authority. So the Apostle Paul was really speaking of these principalities and these powers as these rulers of the darkness of this age and as spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so he's talking about these rulers in the spirit world with differing degrees of authority. And so as we see in the kingdom of God, so the enemy has his kingdom as well. And he has authority structure. There are different levels of devils. Principalities would be chief devils, if you will, fallen angels, I believe. And so all the way down to the smallest demons and devils, you know. And yet we need to understand that this is where the battle is at. And so humanly speaking, we are no match for our adversary. In ourselves, we do not have the capability to overcome the world, the flesh, or the devil. And the Lord is trying to get the church's attention to realize that we must pray, we must seek His face, we must rely upon His ability, because if you don't pray, you will fall prey, P-R-E-Y, to the enemy. That's a reality. And some people have fallen prey to the enemy, and they're not even aware that they've fallen prey to the enemy because they are so blind, because they do not have a good communication with the Lord. Are you hearing me? And so their eyes are not open to see how dysfunctional they really are. We cannot even know how we're really doing unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And if we draw near to Him, He said He'd draw near to us. And if we draw near to Him, He'll begin to show us, amen, the areas of our weakness. So in the areas of our lack, the voids in our lives, so that we may come to him to be filled. God needs vessels. He's looking for you and I to be that yielded, available vessel that's not going to give him part of us, but all of us. Jesus told his followers, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority, exousia, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power or dunamis of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means what? Hurt you. Now, he was sending them out. This is when he sent out the 72, remember? And he is the one that authorized them to go in his name to represent him. He gave them that authority and he gave them that power, okay, to destroy the works of the devil, to proclaim the kingdom, right? And so they were to go in the authority that God gave them and operate in the power that God gave them. And Jesus said this, he said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over what? All the power. That word is the same word we get from Acts 1:8 where it says, but you shall receive power after what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's the same word, dunamis. How many know that the devil was a created being? And so whatever power he has is because God had created him and he has certain abilities. He does have power. Okay? But again, the issue here is what type of authority does he have? Or does he have authority? Or how can he exercise any kind of authority? So he said, listen, what I'm giving you is going to be greater than the one that you're contending with. I've given you the ability, the authority to overcome what? All the power of the enemy. He didn't say some, but all the power of the enemy. Do we believe that in Christ Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have power over all the enemy? You see, if you don't believe that, you won't move in that, you won't function in that, and the enemy knows what you believe and don't believe. Isn't that true? He can tell if you really believe in this or not. And for those who don't really believe what God has said about them, then the devil will mess with them continually and try to defeat and discourage them in their minds because they're not aware of what they already been given in Christ and who they are in Christ and the authority he's given them as sons and daughters, as part of his household, and sent out, amen, and given the dunamis, all right, to do what? To overcome the dunamis of the devil. So what we can be is just an anemic, weak, sickly, powerless individual if we're just trying in our own human ability to be a good Christian. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to be a good Christian in your own ability. Even the ability that we exercise with self-control comes from who? That's right. The self-control we need also comes from the Lord. You know, it's interesting that just prior to verse 19, where Jesus told him about this authority and power, he never mentioned the authority of the devil. He didn't use exousia. He didn't say that you have this ability over the exousia of the enemy. He says, I've given you exousia, authority over the dunamis of the enemy. But he never mentioned the devil's authority here. He just talked about his power. Because if you look at verse 18 prior to this, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So the devil has been demoted. Now, he's still about doing his evil work until such time as God says time up and he will bind him for 1,000 years. But right now, just prior to the cross of Calvary, Jesus prayed this. He says, now my soul is troubled And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Amen. Jesus has returned, hasn't he? To the Father's house at the right hand of the Father. And now verse 31, he says, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Wow. Now is the judgment of this world. What was happening? Well, the world was getting ready to crucify the Lord of glory. And in doing so, it would condemn itself. Judgment or sentence would be passed upon the world for its rejection of the Lord, of Christ. And he said, the ruler of this world, who's he referring to? Who's the ruler of this world? Satan. He was utterly defeated at Calvary. He thought he had succeeded in doing away with the Lord Jesus once and for all. That's why the cross needs to be our central theme and our message. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, the dunamis of God. Now, this is the way that the Lord chose. He's provided the way of salvation for us, and this sentence has not yet been fully carried out on the devil, but we know for sure his doom is sealed, and he knows that he has about a short time. So obviously he's still about doing evil in the world, carrying out his evil plans, but he knows, again, his time is short. So any authority that the enemy may operate in is authority that is allotted or allowed of God, because the Lord is on the throne. He is sovereign God. He is creator of all things, principalities, powers, rulers of wickedness, all of it. God has created all. Amen? And he is above all. So when some of the people that accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, he said in Luke 11:20, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, speaking really of the Spirit, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's the authority, right? The finger of God. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. So what is he saying? Who's the strong man? It's the devil, right? Who's the stronger one? The stronger than he. He's Jesus, right? So the devil basically has been stripped of his armor. Jesus has defeated him. Come on now. That's why the devil seeks to usurp the authority of others through lies and through deception. That's why he's trying to get you to cooperate with him. Come on. Yeah, because he has no legitimate authority except that which he will usurp through compromise. Let's just enter into a compromise. Let's make a deal, he says. What is he after? Well, he's after control of you. He wants to usurp the authority God gave you and use it against you and others. He wants you to be a willing vessel to cooperate with him. Therefore, you bow down and you serve him rather than the living God, who is forever praised, who is above all things. So he wants your worship. He wants your allegiance. He wants you simply to compromise, because by doing so, he will usurp, or he will use the authority that God gave you against you and against others. That's what happened to Adam in the very beginning. Adam lost his authority because he bowed down to the serpent. And he's still trying to get some type of control over others. And he does that by lying to people in hopes that they will believe what he's saying and start obeying what he's saying or submitting themselves to what he's saying. If he can get people to believe that we need to be afraid of him, for example, then people will bow down to him. They will give in to peer pressure. They will give in to temptation. If they trust that the devil somehow is offering something better than what God is offering, then people will give in to that. They'll believe a lie, and therefore he can then take control of your life through legal means because you disobeyed God and gave him permission. Are you hearing me? That's why we yield not to temptation. That's why we say no to sin, amen, to the world, to the devil, to the flesh. We don't give him any part in me. Jesus said the devil has no part in me. Amen. And we want to be like Jesus. If you're going to be defeating the enemy in your life, you cannot be in agreement with him. You cannot be compromising with him. You cannot strike deals with him. Well, if you just don't bother me as much as you used to, I'll give you a little of this and a little of that. Just quit pressuring me to do these things I know I shouldn't be doing. You see, the enemy knows those who he can push around. If a person doesn't know who they are in the Lord, he will push them around. He will torment them. And God says, I want you to stop that. Quit listening to that other voice. I want you to know what I'm saying about you, who you are in me and who I am in you and the authority I've been given you. And you rely upon my ability, my power, amen, to defeat that wicked one because he's already been defeated by Jesus Christ. And our allegiance is to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Amen. When we place ourselves under his authority, then we have authority over the enemy to defeat him in our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. So the key is to stay under the authority of the Lord. Amen. To submit ourselves to God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now listen, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, what? Has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So what I'm telling you is confirmed by the word of God that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. The enemy does not have authority over you. The Lord has the authority. And he will give his authority to those who will submit themselves to him, to bow their knee to him, amen, and allow him to work through their lives. In other words, allow him to be Lord of their lives. See, a lot of people talk about Jesus as being Savior, but is he Lord? And can he be Savior if he's not Lord? He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Wow. See, an unsaved person, an unregenerate person, has no authority over the devil. This is what people need to understand. It's why you must be born again. People want to toy with Christianity. They want to sample Christianity. Maybe they get entertained by the music or they like this particular personality. And some people, they dabble with it, you know. But a person who is not born again cannot resist the devil because they're still under his control. You must come out of death and into life. You must come out of darkness and into light. You must come out of death and into Christ. Amen. And place yourself under his authority. Because when you're under his authority, again, you have legitimate authority. Hallelujah. And that means you can also take authority over yourself. How many here have to take authority over yourself every day? I hope you are. It don't work any other way. So as sons and daughters, though, through this new birth, we are given this authority in Jesus' name, right? And as Holy Spirit baptized believers, we receive God's power, the dunamis, for the work of the ministry, for the work of service. Amen. Luke 10:19 again, behold, I give you what? Exousia, authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, we need to get that all. That's all is a big word. All the power of the enemy. You know, it will be unto you according to your faith. If you believe what God said, you can receive what God said. If you don't really believe what he said, then you won't receive what he said. So I have to come to a place where I quit questioning God's word and I take him at what he has said clearly. And he has said that I am a new creation. He has said that he has given me as a son, exousia. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the exousia. The authority to become the sons of God. There's that same word. So as a son, as a daughter, we have been authorized to go in his name and to enforce what he has already accomplished for us at the cross. It was a defeat to Satan. Hallelujah. He has a short time. He's doing what he can to get people to listen to him, to cooperate with him, so he can use them to do his bidding. But he knows that he has no power or authority over a believer's life unless they're willing to give it to him. Do compromise. And guys, we need to quit like men. Amen. We need to be wise and understand this battle that we're engaged in. We have an enemy. He is like a roaring lion, isn't he? He's looking for someone to devour. We need to resist him. Here's an example from the Old Testament. Aaron's rod. Then the Lord, in Exodus 7 and verse 8, spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Why? Because God said it would. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. Oh, I didn't expect that. Little parlor trick. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But this is the good part. Come on, let's read it together. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. The dunamis of God overcame the dunamis of the enemy. Why? Because Moses was going in the Lord's name. God had authorized him to go. And God was going to back up his word and confirm his word with accompanying signs. And the dunamis of God is found and given only in the Holy Spirit. You must have a relationship. You must know the Lord. How do you overcome the enemy's power? How do you overcome his schemes, his temptations? By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the dunamis of God. See, the devil, again, he's not threatened by powerless Christians or powerless churches. God forbid that we should ever become a powerless church or powerless individuals, because our effectiveness is of God and not of us. The power is of God and not of us. We're simply vessels that God will use. But God will give his grace. He will give his ability to the humble, to those who realize that in themselves they don't have it. They can't do it. Some people depend upon their own abilities, even to be ministers. They go to school and they learn how to preach. And some people are pretty good preachers, but the power of God is vacant. It's not there. Why? Because the power of God will rest upon somebody who realizes that apart from the power of God, I can't do it. Amen? I'm nobody without him. And I want this to be about him and not about me. Because as soon as I start making it about me, then God's going to start lifting his hand. So I can't use you. If you want to be a vessel for the Lord, submit yourself to God. place yourself under his authority, and you need to start doing something about it. Come on, somebody. You need to go beyond just understanding and having a theological concept of what God is saying and even understanding his ways. We need to be walking in his ways. Without prayer, everything you do, every effort, every work will be hindered. You get around people that pray, you know it. Go to a prayer meeting with people that pray, you know it. There is life, there is a connection, they know how to get a hold of God. Why? Because they're not trying in just their human ability to pray. The power of God energizes them and enables them to pray. And when they pray, there's power in that prayer. But see, God is stirring up and waking up, shaking up in some ways, his people, his church, because he wants us to return to him, to his presence, amen, so that we are on fire for God. And that's the only way we're going to be effective, amen. It's the only way we're going to defeat our enemy is by the ability God supplies us. And God is trying to get our attention, guys, and God allows things in our lives, difficulties in our lives, sometimes because we get independent so quickly. I really don't need to pray like I used to. I'm pretty strong Christian. As soon as you start to think you're a strong Christian, you're vulnerable. Because you're thinking in yourself you're strong. I can only be strong in him. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay. Now, if you want to experience the power of God, you must experiment with it. You must practice it. You must do something with what you already have. You must start laying hands on people, praying for people. Amen. You feel God's given you a word, you need to step out in faith and prophesy. Speak what he's speaking. That's how you activate the gift of God within you. It requires action. Well, one of these days, 20 years later, one of these days, God's going to move on me. And I think God's already been moving on you. The problem is you haven't moved with God. Right? So we've got to put into practice what we've learned. The purpose of the classroom is to prepare you for the marketplace. You can't continue to just live out of the classroom. The classroom's important. We get theology, we get understanding, we get the word, amen. But God wants us to live it. He wants us to have experiences. Brother Rick was talking about experiencing God. Christian life will have experiences. People who experience God and have experiences of God are people who, in the sense, in a good way, in a positive way, put God to the test, meaning that I'm going to trust him in what he said. When it came to tithing in Malachi, he said, test me in this. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing that you cannot contain. Test me, he said, and see what if I won't take care of your needs if you trust me with that 10%. So the Lord said, I want you to hold me to my word, and what I promised you, I will do, but you're going to have to test it. You're going to have to step out in it. You're going to have to take the mantle and strike the water and say, where is the God of Elijah? And guys, listen. We're not to be living on the defensive all the time. Some Christians are always in the defensive. Oh, the enemy. Oh, the enemy. How about taking territory in Jesus' name, using the authority and the power he's given you, amen, to plunder, if you will, hell and populate heaven? There are people that need what you have been given, amen? So let's be faithful stewards over what God has given to us. Let's activate it by faith, by stepping out and starting to practice this thing. If you have musical or singing ability, it's time to get up and start singing again, amen? Get the dust off the vocal cords, all right? If you play an instrument, do something with it. If you have the gift of gab, if you're a good communicator, amen, look for opportunities to share. If you're a teacher, be a good teacher. If you prophesy, prophesy according to the measure of grace God has given you. Measure of faith. What is God saying? I want you to be activated. I want you to be moving in my authority. If you believe God, you will receive from God. Remember James said 2:18, James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, brother, it's not by works, it's by grace. Well, he said, show me your faith without your works, right? And I will show you my faith by my works. True faith has works. Works are not a means to salvation, but the proof of salvation is a life of good works. When you are alive, you will be able to bear fruit. If you're healthy, amen, and you're a healthy adult, you can have children. You can have offspring. You see, God wants you and I to reproduce in the spirit realm. He wants us to take the seed of the word and the seed of whatever grace he's given you and start to sow it into the hearts and the lives of others around you. And as you do that and God sees that you are being a good steward over what he's invested in you, then God says, you know what? I'm going to increase that measure because you've proven to be faithful in little. Now, pride and fear are two enemies of faith, aren't they? The enemy wants to get us into fear, into insecurity, into ourselves. So that we're thinking that I have to do this. Well, you're going to do it, but you're going to do it together with the Lord. And by faith in his faithfulness, you step out and you'll find God will meet you in the place of obedience. You start to do what he tells you to do and God meets you in that place. And of course, pride, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Fear of failure. Fear of embarrassment. Well, what happens if nothing happens? Get over yourself. Get over yourself. That's what happens. That's the problem. When I'm focused on me, I'm full of me. Amen. I'm not going to do anything for God because I'm going to be so self-conscious and I'm going to be so concerned about what people are going to think about me that I'm not going to take any risks. So I'm just going to play it safe and I'm going to sit in the boat even though Jesus may be out on the water and that's where things are happening. I'm just going to sit here and play it safe in the boat. How long have you been in the boat? Oh, 50 years now. Where's Jesus been for 50 years? But he's a man, that scary place out on the water, I don't know about that. But see, that's how it works. It's you and I saying, you know what? If Jesus is out on the water, I don't want to sit here in the boat. If Jesus is in the boat, I'm going to hang out with Jesus in the boat. There's a time to be in the boat. There's a time to be on the water. The key is that we walk with the Lord, that we stay with him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's by the ability God supplies, by the power of God. We're enabled to do what he's called us to do. But it's going to require you and I saying, you know what? I'm going to start practicing this thing. I'm going to get over me and I'm going to start looking for opportunity in my life. Say, Lord, use me. Show me somebody or give me an opportunity to pray for somebody maybe or to share my testimony with somebody. Are you hearing me? And if you're looking and your eyes are open, God will show you. God will give you opportunity. And if you're willing to do what he shows you to do and you find yourself to be faithful in that and he finds you to be faithful in that, then God will say, good. Here's a vessel, a user-friendly vessel that I can trust with more. Obedience is not optional. What is needed is courage. Obedience is not optional. What we need is courage. I'm going to say it, I say it a lot, but courage is not the absence of all fear. Courage is mastery or ruling over the fear in your life, not allowing that to control you. And when you take courage, God meets you in that place and your fears disappear. There's no fear in his love. When you abide in his word, you abide in his love. And in his perfect love, there's no fear. Are you hearing me? So you have to be like God told Joshua, be of good courage. I have to take courage. All right? Obedience to the Lord is not an option. And when I step out and do what God tells me to do, even when I'm feeling insecure in myself. Oh, I discovered something. God is faithful. That God comes through. We all have dealt with fear and doubt. Amen? And pride too. But I find that when I step on those things, I do not allow those things to control me. Then God meets me in that place of obedience. I don't know what Abraham was thinking. But I can only imagine when God told him to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. But it wasn't until he had the knife in the air, he was ready to go all the way in obedience to what the Lord told him to do, that the angel of the Lord intervened and stopped him. He says, "Now I know that you trust me." Basically, now I know that you believe me. Sometimes we're going to be tested. And sometimes God will call you to do something that's beyond anything naturally you'd ever consider doing. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and raise a knife on anybody, okay? But some His ways are not our ways. And sometimes, you know, the Lord's going to challenge you. And He's going to test you. Are you going to be willing to say yes? And I have never regretted saying yes. But I've always regretted the times I've said no. So God, help us to always be yes people when it comes to your will for us. You see, supernatural courage comes by the power of the Holy Spirit through intimacy with God, prayer, communion, staying connected. God gives you supernatural confidence, boldness by the power of His Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis, power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. God, we thank you so much for choosing us, for allowing us to partner with you, to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, we want to do your will. Lord, we want to live for you. Lord, we're asking you to give us opportunities to practice what we've learned. So we'll take out of the classroom into the marketplace what you've given us here. And that we'll live this, Lord, before the watching world. That there will be the demonstration, the manifestation of your Spirit and of your power as we find, Lord, ourselves in your will and being obedient to whatever you show us to do. Lord, we know that you told us to preach the gospel. Lord, you told us to lay hands on the sick. You told us to cast out demons in your name. And Lord, even to raise the dead. And Lord, I ask you, Father God, to show us where and how we can apply, Lord, what we have already learned today. Father, that we will recognize and receive what you have taught us today as a word for us, a word for me today. Lord, I thank you that you, according to your promise, have given me exousia. You've given me authority in your name because I am your son. And Lord, I thank you that your dunamis, your dynamic working power, is available to me in your will. Hallelujah for me. So Lord, teach us how to walk in the authority and in the power of your Holy Spirit every day, that we might be a church on the move that is bearing fruit, that is destroying the works of the devil. Lord, we want to see our nation saved. We want to see our nation turned around. God, I ask you to wake up and activate the church throughout America in Jesus' name. Lord, wake us up inside. Bring us to full flame. Bring us to full alert in Jesus' name. Fill us with the knowledge of the will of God in Christ that concerns us. Hallelujah. God, we just thank you for your mercies, Lord.